Before we start today's episode, there's something important for agencies seeking a reliable way to attract new business, especially during busy periods. I want to introduce you to Leadflow Sprint. It's an eight-week program that simplifies your marketing and consistently attracts the attention of potential clients without requiring a massive marketing budget or external sales teams. With my 17 years of experience in aiding agencies to gain visibility and new clients, this program offers a practical and effective approach to lead generation. Forget about unpredictable leads and embrace a method that works across different agency sizes. And if you're keen to learn more, you need to visit caffeine.club/LFS. That's caffeen.club/L for Lima, F for Foxtrot, S for Sierra. Now let's get into today's episode. Hi, and welcome to the Caffeine Espresso podcast. Today is a little bit of a different episode because I've invited on an old client of mine. Sorry, old client. That's a bit insulting. I think you're significantly younger than me. Who I've worked with in the past and who has undergone a kind of business transformation since we last worked together, which I just think is such an interesting story and so appealing, probably to some people who are kind of questioning what their significance and meaning is in the workplace. So on that note, I'd like to introduce Paul, who I worked with when he was the founder of Triple Double, which is an agency I worked with back in 2021, right? Paul, is that correct?
Yeah, a little bit before as well, maybe. Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
And they work with clients as broad as Sport England, Unilever, Airbnb, Pinterest, Red Bull, the Design Museum. I mean, a veritable who's who of some of the coolest and most relevant and well-known brands out there. Paul and I got back in contact relatively recently after a two-year period, ostensibly to check in. And over that period of time, he's gone, as I mentioned, somewhat of a business transformation. So I wanted to invite him on here today and talk a bit about his current project, because I think it's an exceptionally inspiring story. So Paul, do you want to tell us a bit about League Leaders, your current project, and what's going on there?
Yeah, thanks, Charlotte. Project is an interesting word. My response to the word project, almost it's a pursuit. And I guess when I tell a little bit about it, when I'm not here, League Leaders will still be going. So it's beyond a course. It's a pursuit. We may never get there, but I'm going to give it a damn good go. So yeah, League Leaders, we are a brand new UK based charity. We're working all across the UK. And what we do is we make sure that every young person we support has the right to design how they're physically active. So call it a vision, call it, you know, the North Star, what you want. But that's why we exist. And everything we do points towards that. So going a layer down, what we do is we combine the power of youth co-creation and creativity to help those who aren't engaged with sport and physical activity to bring it into their lives. And for us, what it's about is building the future leaders, the future active citizens of society, and making sure that we're giving them, you know, 360 opportunities to be active. The next layer down within that, we broadly have sort of three main delivery area focuses called Fundamentals, Live, and Futures. Fundamentals is all about skills-based programs, projects, creative education, and learning experiences that really help to break down and, you know, get rid of those barriers for a young person who isn't currently active. So things like boys and body confidence, girls and periods, school PE kits, communication, teamwork, resilience, access to tech. Young people that I speak to, that the team speaks to, they know what the value of sport and physical activity and movement is. They don't need to be preached to about it. But there's unfair barriers essentially that stand in their way to allow them to basically reap the benefits of what being active is. And I guess just it's not a side note, but you know, the only reason I can even have this conversation is because of what I've learned through sport, the ups, the downs. I'm by no means a professional sports person, but you know, I've been playing basketball all my life, and what I've learned on the court resonates off the court. And you know, It's our job to give this to young people. The second area we have is called Live. So what this is all about is young people designing and, researching, designing and delivering critically real world projects. So commercial projects, real world projects that other young people can use and can participate in to be active. You know, the current generation stands, you know, pretty disengaged from opportunity they have to launch things within, you know, commercial and charitable context. There's a real issue of, you know, possibly being left behind, if not, you know, already behind. So what Live as a delivery area does, it puts things onto young people's CVs that I can't touch, that I wish I had when I was younger. And basically, you know, sets them apart. And I say to all the young people we're working with on this side of things, I say, you're basically responsible for a young person you've never met yet. And it kind of, their response is sort of like, Paul, you're trolling me here. What's going on here? And then it kind of sinks in like, do you know what? Yeah. That's what inspires me. And then to sort of close the loop, we have what's called futures, in our delivery sort of pathway. So this is all about creating jobs, employment pathways for young people, not just in the sports sector, but all the other sectors that influence how a young person might be active. So if you're somebody listening to this who is working in gaming or tech or media or fashion or nutrition, and obviously health, you are all influencing young people's decisions to stay with the sport, to be active or to not. And so we have to make sure that young people are embedded in these organizations, bringing that perspective. And that sort of, I guess, loosely rounds up League Leaders for where we are.
Yeah. We've had a chat in advance and we've talked through a bit about, not the backstory, which I'm really keen to hear about. We'll get to that in a minute. But Paul has given me more of an understanding about what the difference between Triple Double and League Leaders is, because there are, to me or to an outsider, a lot of similarities. But I'm just going to play devil's advocate here and just read out what Triple Double says on their about page and ask Paul to give us a summary of what made the difference, what made you take the leap across from moving from a creative agency in its, more usual format to the new format. So Triple Double says here, we, working with brands, communities, schools, charities, and youth groups, collectively reach the common goal of transforming young people's lives for the future. We listen, understand, and learn what the next generation wants, working directly with young people to give them real-world commercial opportunities. This co-creation approach and passion for accountability has led us to become a trusted partner of brands and organizations. And Triple Double, as I knew him working together, delivers everything from design brand through to transformation, perception change, impact, engagement, insights, research, user testing, etc. It was always a really diverse range of deliverables, but always with the intention of making younger people's lives and experience better. And now, if to me, it always felt like there was a real kind of, it was always really clear, even down to the name, right? That your love of sport was there. So can you now give us a bit of insight into your backstory and the importance of sport to you? And what at the moment at which you realized that you needed to move from the Triple Double format into the League Leaders format? And then we'll get on to kind of practically what that means.
Yeah, sure. Just to quickly answer the, I think you sort of asked...
three questions there, yeah.
What's the difference? I guess for anybody who doesn't know anything about Triple Double, in around sort of 7 years, and this is relevant for what I'm going to talk about with the charity, approximately around 11,000 young people have been supported through the work, basically. So... that's something we've been recently looking at on the League Leaders side and the sort of future projections of it. So you have to take the word for it. That's the number. But the reason why League Leaders has evolved at Triple Double is basically asking the question, is this as relevant as it should be to do the work that we want to do, and being comfortable to say, I don't think so. So that's kind of the short reason why, where the big difference is, basically. If that answers sort of that part of the question.
Yeah. And then I guess on a practical perspective, legally, that means you're no longer a limited company and you're now a charity.
Yeah, we're a charity. So Legalese is a completely separate entity. It's a charitable incorporated organization, or a CIO, which is a sort of a more recent structural version of a traditional charity. So traditional charity have a company number and a charity number. So we are a registered charity, but the CIO is the new format. You might have heard of things like CIC. That's another format. But yeah, CIO is the main. So yeah, the limited company isn't completely irrelevant to Legalese. That's not structurally how it works, because we're a non-profit organization. We go for funding and we spend the funding. The purpose of a charity is not to retain profits. It's to spend it to reinvest it, whether that's in your programs or in your staff, broadly speaking. That's sort of how it works. Whereas as a limited company, you can retain, things in the coffers, love that word, if you have them. Whereas, yeah, charity is a completely separate entity. So you asked about sort of my background story. I think that's what you asked. Yeah. So, and this is, I guess, probably the first time you're hearing this as well, Charlotte, because it's always been there. And I think it's also just, it was never brought out for Triple Double because, again, kind of looking into sort of the tools and the assets and sort of the reason to being. Again, a lot of people ask me, why are you the person to start this? And, people will, they'll look at me, they'll profile me from what I sound and how I speak. And then I'll explain, actually, those perceptions are the perceptions, right? So it basically goes back from the age of 13. That's essentially when I founded Triple Double and League Leaders. I just didn't know what on earth those two things were just yet. So between the ages of 13 and 16, I had a lot of trauma happening at home as a kid that no teenager should ever have to go through. It's bad enough, being a teenager, let alone everything that was going on there. And so kind of school with my space to, escape that, physically, emotionally, and design and sport, specifically basketball, were my sort of two pursuits I got into from around sort of the age of seven. So those are my two outlets to kind of deal with what was going on there. And then basically at school, I sort of, ran into sort of two, quite frankly, outrageous problems that, now it's our job to solve it. So in PE, basically what I was told was, Paul, you can't be active how you want to be, even though there's basketball nets on the wall. You've got to play hockey, you've got to play rugby, or the worst of it, you've got to play football. I am a huge football fan. I have two left feet. I've never been a good player. I've always been the last. basketball players and sneakers and muddy football pitches do not go well together. And it kind of made me think, well, what's up with this? Like, I've got an idea here. Like, why can't I be active in the way that I want to be? Basketball's a super cool sport. You've got nets. And so it was kind of, quite literally dragged through the mud to do those other exercises. And Legalese is working across all sports, so very happy to do football. But it kind of made me think, hang on, what's going on there? And then on the other side, the other experience I had, they never get a good rep, but a careers advisor basically told me that if I wanted to get into the creative industries, that would be a failure. It's not a viable career to get into. And I was like, that was the language I was having at home. It's the language I was having in the PE room. What's going on here? Like, I'm a young person who's got these ideas that enjoys these two pursuits. I'm really passionate about helping other young people to be active through, basketball at the time. And no one's listening to me. No one's nurturing me. Certainly nobody is, wanting to sort of work on those ideas with me. So essentially I kind of look at my education from a secondary perspective anyway and go, it starts and ends in those two moments. And that essentially plants the seed for Triple Double and then to League Leaders. So I did leave when I was 16. I did go to college, which I was told not to do. Got my top marks in my BTEC, which was pretty cool. And actually it was at that stage that those tutors, they're probably the only tutors, had amazing tutors at university, but in terms of a course tutor, they were the only ones that kind of saw that potential and they really, really nurtured it. So pretty much from that point until starting Triple Double in 2015, I was working with young people across the country in school settings and community settings. I was a dragon for National Citizen Service for their project, if you can believe that, which was a fun experience, and learn what not to do to try to be funny, like Peter Jones, or try to withhold money, because that does not go down well with young people. and really kind of developing the methodologies around co-creating with young people. What does it mean? And, you know, as a designer, we're making stuff for other people. I think anybody who meets me might go, oh, you know, you're in a particular, you know, certain things, but actually I've never had a house style individually. We've never had it as an organization. We'll never have it as a charity. It's kind of, you know, we have our brands, but we have to flex the needs of the audiences. So kind of really understanding what it meant, what makes young people tick, and how do you do that? How do you help them to get into the worlds of creativity and sport? So when someone says to me, like, you know, what's your background? Are you a coach? Are you a youth worker? And they're quite shocked to hear when I say, I mean, I'm a level one basketball coach, but I've never been a youth worker. No. And so I say, but we know a thing or two about working with young people. So, you know, that's the sort of, you know, amongst all of that, you know, that planted the seed, and, you know, been working with young people on the ground for a long time. So Triple Double was the first version of giving this thing a go, helping young people to be active, using creativity, co-creation. We did some good things and some things didn't work, but, you know, when I look back at it now and, you know, how the organization has now evolved to focus more on kind of educational work, you know, 11,000 is pretty cool. I think it's cool. And I think it's not just the sort of the numbers, but there's some quantifiable things within that. But I'm somebody who's had to, you know, bash down the doors that have always gone up in my face. And I'm somebody who I essentially have had to learn all these very powerful ideas as an adult. And my thinking is, why do we have to wait as an adult to learn these things? So League Leaders is the next evolution of this journey. And it's, you know, from these sort of the early interests, the early projects we're doing, and essentially just the support, whether it's from parents, teachers, my amazing board of trustees, my amazing group of advisors. We have our internal youth collective. Some of the, you know, just partners and supporters of conversations I've been in is just like, they're like, obvious, why has not someone done this before? So it made me think the theory of evolving this thing, you know, onto something, a Triple Double, just maybe it wasn't the right format. And now kind of, you know, certainly the response, but, you know, shifting from a sole director to a CEO with a board is a very different kind of, very different sort of setup. But I guess the final thing to say is, now what's amazing is, like, we don't actually have to just be accountable internally. We're accountable. Well, when I say accountable internally, what I mean is like, we are accountable. I'd say to people who wouldn't give us those projects because we're a limited company, I'd say, but we reinvest it back into the organization, into these programs, like all this self-initiated stuff we've done that's affecting, you know, young people's lives. No, we don't want to hear that, Paul, you're a limited company. Whereas now it's like the accountability runs across the board, and the transparency runs across the board, and everything we're doing internally is youth led as well as externally. And we're pretty much, in fact, no, we are the only UK charity who is using creativity and youth co-creation to help young people to be active. And, you know, we are definitely the only UK charity that is working with young people at the level we're doing internally, externally. We may not always be, but if, you know, it's quite special to staff in that sense.
Absolutely.
It's sort of runs ahead.
So many things came over me as you were talking, and just before we get onto kind of the singularity of your goal and intention, which I just think is phenomenal, I'd say as well, you know, 11,000 young people touched while you worked at Triple Double, but, you know, looking at the incredible brands that you worked with during your time at Triple Double, that you have undoubtedly changed minds and attitudes towards co-creating with young people, which will be affecting other projects without you knowing about it, I'm sure. So I think there's a legacy when you're doing something with purpose and integrity, you know, it lives on without you, right? You talked about that at the beginning. This League Leaders will continue after I'm gone. And I think in terms of creativity and what we're teaching all the clients that we're working with, all the kind of the people along that journey through creation, is you're teaching them a different way of looking at things that they will take with them and apply to future projects. So I think that's, you know, maybe that's hard for you to calculate in quite the same using your formula that you've developed for League Leaders, but I think it's important to mention. And then just kind of on the to me, it's just phenomenal. Like, it's so hard to be self-aware, especially as a business owner, because there's so much going on, just, you know, the to-do lists every day. the responsibility for other people in the team, subcontractors, feeling a sense of responsibility for clients. And I know my gut feeling is that creative people do carry a lot of a deep sense of responsibility, to the extent they often do the extra work because they know it will help make a project better, even though they're not charging for it, or they know that they can't let the scope creep. So that's the kind of level of responsibility we're talking about. And we also, I include myself in it, feel, I don't think it's untrue to say that there's a lot of reflection on actions and self-doubt sometimes, honestly. And I think, you know, beyond going through all of those layers of things that are going on, to kind of know your purpose as a person and have that supersede the organization that you founded and worked your ass off to grow, like to for you to say, yeah, we're doing it, but it's not enough, we can take it to the next level, and that means completely reshaping, you know, completely not reshaping, but not stopping. I know Triple Double is kind of continuing in the background, but, you know, parking that and then starting something entirely new. And, you know, in this pre-call chat, you were talking about, I think you said 9 or 11 month period of time where you had to develop this, you know, just to get registered as a charity, you know, just to start. So I just want to congratulate you on that, because I'm exhausted even thinking about it. I just think it's phenomenal that you recognize that about yourself and that you're so dedicated to that. And also that you committed to that in terms of energy and, you know, personal, I'm sure, significant time, money and energy investment in that. One thing I did hear as you're talking, though, is that, you know, talk about leading an agency, leading a business has been quite a lonely position. And it sounds now like you've got your crew. I know you had an amazing group of people working with you at Triple Double, but maybe the new format and, you know, the trustees and the board and then your, I forget what you've referred to them as, but your youth.
The youth collective. Yeah. I can
talk a little okay. About, youth collective. Yeah. How does that feel? Does it feel like you're sharing the load in some ways? Is that a different kind of feeling for you?
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling knowing to have the, I guess, support whilst also you know, as a CEO, you still retain those responsibilities. And, you know, I am I'm a new CEO. That was never my title, for Triple Double. So I guess double founder, I call myself creative director of Triple Double. So, if I had founder, CEO, head of brand and creative director at Legal Ears, again, they'd be mindful. So yeah, I think having, and it's not just the kind of the operations team that we're building, that we're going for funding for, to allow, you know, just across the board, you know, just even somebody, I mean, I'll be surprised if he listens to this podcast, but I'll send it to him if this gets included. But somebody I play basketball with just the other day was like, you know, so what do you do? And I told him, and he just was like, how can I get involved? Like, can I take your details? I would love to volunteer. Like, what help do you need? And, you know, just people's support has been amazing. And it's something kind of getting more comfortable with, I guess, you know, people never apparently take compliments well. But I think I'm learning to, you know, get more comfortable when people go, actually, do you know what? Yeah, we want to support it as much as possible. And now I'm like, yeah, of course you should want to support it. So, you know, I have a board of 8 trustees. Most charities, you only need 3 trustees to start a charity. Mm. I know too many amazing people that I wanted to be involved. And that's why there's an advisors board, because I was like, well, the people can't commit to a trusteeship, but I still like their support in a sort of an informal way. And yeah. I mean, on the trustee board, I guess just to put it round into like a full circle as well, was one of my very first bosses when I was 19, who basically took a chance on me to bring me over to Tokyo to basically do an internship with him. He funded me to do it. And, you know, circles back around, I need the world's best creative head in this charity. Now, I probably will say maybe number 2, number 3. I'm sure some people listening to this would disagree with that, but that trustee has to be number 1. I'm like, I need that person in there. So yeah, there's this kind of like managing upwards and managing downwards. And I think I have so much to learn about management, and I always have. I mean, like most people, you kind of go into the position and then you sort of learn as you go. But I guess the difference now is I don't need to ask people, are they interested in what we stand for? And I don't need to blur the lines of like, well, we're a commercial organization who's doing this good work. And yes, the design is important, but actually it's what we're doing. It's now non-negotiable. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much resources you have, who you think you are. I promise you, when you stand in front of a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old, they will bring you down to the level that you should be at. And if you don't have that viewpoint to sort of believe in what we're doing, then you can't be part of the charity. And, you know, that's a selection process that everybody went through. And, I guess, you know, self-selecting myself for that as well as such. It's very different in that sense. And I guess just touching on the 9-month application process, just as a bit of an insight here, like that was probably the hardest challenge in my career that I've ever had, is to basically stay patient for 9 months that there is a government agency who is, you know, rightly so, is reviewing you top to bottom, making sure that what you say is true. It's, you know, for good reason, but I have no idea how anyone starts a charity without any prior experience and certainly, you know, the tenacity that you need. And I think it's like reflecting on that, and, you know, being honest and open about that, of how hard that was. And I had that self-doubt and had that sort of, you know, is this actually going to happen? But sort of the flame never went out. I was like, it will happen. And, when the registration came to, and just being completely honest, I've got no shame in it. I called my chair trustee and I just burst into tears, basically. It wasn't in the reaction. I just thought it was going to be like, this is amazing. And she just responded and said, like, you know, this is why you should be doing it. And, you know, I should be CEO for a fair number of years, but, you know, at some point there will maybe need to be another CEO, right? So I need to make sure that person, whilst I'm balling their eyes out on the phone, you know, shares that vision for the charity. So yeah, I'm future thinking ahead of kind of where we're going to be going, what we want to do, whilst making sure that, you know, the people we're working with, the people who are part of the organization at this early stage, we're doing this, the right stuff in a sustainable way. I think without that kind of that viewpoint, I think we can just fall into a trap and quite quickly become a charity that is, I guess, you know, prisoner to its own kind of aims. Whereas I'm taking a much broader viewpoint to how we work. So
I mean, what I hear a lot from agencies is they have a particular vision. They have, not necessarily talking about house style, but they have a niche that they work with or a type of end user that they want to serve. But often work comes in that distracts them, either because they need work at that time or they need that kind of caliber of brand on their in their portfolio of work, so they can attract other kinds of clients that they'd like to be working with in the future. And it's easier to get sidetracked along the way, whereas they're with the charity, because you're formed in that way, your singular goal now, it's impossible to get distracted from it, because you can kind of stand firm with it and say, look, we will, you know, you've gone through that qualification process. I'm sure there is, was it the, I'm thinking of the Care Quality Commission. It's not that, but I'm sure there's something. Okay. So who are auditing and making sure that people are staying true to their goals, et cetera. So that's incredible. You've got that singular goal, but what has it meant? And I'm going at this from a business development perspective. And again, we had a bit of pre-chat about this, but I'm so fascinated what that has meant in terms of you understanding who your prospective client is, because ostensibly the list of past clients on the Triple Double website, they could all be clients for Lead Leaders, as far as I can tell. So can you talk me through like how you're, because I get the sense it's a journey, but how you are understanding who are the right consumers of your work, who are the people who should be commissioning you to do stuff, and what does that look like now, and what does it look like potentially in the future?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's, I guess to start to answer it, my take on it. And where did I learn this? I guess without sort of subconsciously sort of saying that this is how I'm going to do it, maybe just through the process of, you know, running a commercial organization and being used to just sitting down with someone and building a conversation and building a project and a budget through that. Basically, the league leaders is open to the broad types of people that we can speak to. So traditionally, a charity will go for government public grant funding. So that's split into two categories. One's called core costs. One's called, I guess, core costs or unrestricted, and one's called restricted or project grants. So funder over here has got £5,000 and they're going to only give you it if you're going to do the project. They're not going to pay for your office. They're not going to pay for your staff salaries outside of the project. So you're kind of like, okay, well, I need the staff to do the project, but I can't figure it out. Snap. Okay, so how does that work? So where core costs comes in is that's unrestricted funding. Sort of going towards your sort of philanthropic income, where funders will, you know, foundations and trusts will provide basically what the charity would see fit. So essentially putting the trust in the charity to spend this money on, you know, the right team, the right office to do that work. So just even in that sense, that is funding. And I guess, you know, it's not commercial income, but income that a limited company cannot touch. So you've got this side of things, but then also if you start bringing in things like corporate sponsorship, you know, organizations who are looking to sort of align their CSR objectives with the work we're doing, you've then also got, you know, donation. You know, anybody listening to this might go, do you know what? I want to donate £5 to League Leaders. So every single individual from a high net worth individual to low net worth is not the right term, but, you know, let's call it the everyday person, is a potential person who could be funding the charity. You've then also got things like sort of in-kind funding or match funding. So to give you an example, so I'm talking with a couple of sports platforms at the moment who are kind of interested in making League Leaders their in-app charity. So every time a sort of a transaction goes through of somebody using that, they're basically, there's a donation coming through to League Leaders. So my perspective on it has been really broad on how we kind of diversify who we're speaking to.
Yeah.
And what that means is that the clients as such are all the people that are centered around the 11 to 25 year olds. The 11 to 25 year olds, they are the beneficiaries. They're the people that we support. And everybody else around that is who we need to appeal to as much as the young people. And that's such a crucial point, because the League Leaders brand and purpose has to appeal to a young person, and it has to appeal to a funder who's reviewing, you know, an A4 worded document. There's no creative work in that. It's just they have to read that and go, this appeals to us. It has to appeal to youth workers, to, you know, influential people in the community, to parents, to those marketing managers, to policymakers, people in government. So there's a much wider variety of, I guess, in that comes clients. The difference being is that not everybody is giving you direct cash, but they might be influencing how much cash you get, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, really, it becomes sort of like the client is the 11 to 25 year olds, although I never called them that. But it's the people around it that are sort of, it's almost like they're not, I'm thinking in terms of agency world, it's like you've got to sort of appeal to somebody that's not involved with the client, but actually is very influential. And that really changes who you're speaking to and when you're speaking to. And, you know, a funding application compared to a job description that goes out to a young person, two very different assets, but they have to appeal to both. That makes sense.
Yeah. So you've doubled down on your triple double aim of your goal, your end goal, but you've effectively multiplied your prospects, to use my term, you know, in terms of the people you need to appeal to put money in the coffers, you know, to use the expression that you used before, in order to deliver the work on behalf of the 11 to 25 year olds who are your end user, who are the entire reason for your existence. It's fascinating. And I'm just thinking through, you know, because this is the area that I work in, I'm thinking through I'm also mindful of time and thinking about how we can relate this back to the people in the audience the best. So, you know, I'm focusing on, I guess, the profit, for-profit brands who businesses who may consider working with you. And as we, before we joined the call, I won't say any names, but you talked about an example of an organization that partners with another organization. And I was thinking the role for league leaders will be helping to make those two things, that relationship, more relevant to the user, the end user being the 11 to 25 year old. So they're building, both brands are building the right association in terms of the end goal of who they're working with. So a sports organization partnering with a well-known household brand. And I'm understanding that where league leaders would get involved is in terms of understanding what the best framing of that relationship would be, what the best output would be in order to kind of build resonance with that target audience to get them moving or get them more involved in sport in some other dimension. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I guess my approach, I say to everybody, whether it's a commercial organization or a school, I say we're very good at what we do. Because of that, we need to be funded. So versus being paid, use the word funded. And I say we just have to be a charity. You know, that's the shift that when I talk about us as an organization, and I guess for anybody listening who's working in an agency or commercial organization, coming to us and saying, do you want to work together? Versus, do you want to be our client, are two very different things. And so, you know, at some point, somebody will get in touch and say, hey, would you like us to rebrand you? And, you know, maybe at the time I get rid of that email straight away, the designer myself, but people who come into us going, actually, you could work with us to basically deliver X, which meets what we're doing, what you're doing. That's really attractive. Mm-hmm. I think gone are the days where people might perceptions of a brand works with a charity, but actually any kind of commercial organization, they're not just going to give some cash to the charity and let them go do what they want to do. It's around things like staff volunteering opportunities. It's around building purpose within that organization. And people who are already working with us, I know have got so much out of that experience for their own staff. The feedback we've had. And again, whether that's schools, whether that's commercial organizations, and then kind of knowing the fact that we're kind of taking a similar approach. It's not like, you know, what I'm not saying to everyone is we really need your help. You have to donate to us. Without it, we're gone. I'm actually on the front foot going, you need our help. You need our help because you will be left behind. So it's a case of like, do you want to work with us? Do you want to fight that? If you're in this space, and if you do, then, you know, there'll be a young person who will be taking your job in the not too distant future because we'll be helping them to do that. So it's a bit of a shift.
Knowing who our audience is, and just to wrap up, because I am conscious of time, knowing that our audience is majority agency owners, anywhere between 2 and 100 employees generally, and some of those agency leaders do kind of shapeshift and move in-house in brand, who should get in contact with you and in what capacity?
I want to hear from people, and this is not just, I guess, it is agency owners, but also, you know, across the board. I want to hear from people who believe in what we stand for. And I think if they believe in what we stand for, it's likely that they believe in what we stand for, and therefore we believe in what they stand for. So I'm talking about people who are interested within the sports space, the youth leadership space. And I guess I'm looking to hear from people who are at one end of the scale. Sure, you know, we've got this program in our company where we need to commit 8 hours a day to staff volunteering a year or whatever. Definitely, please get in touch. But I also want to hear from people of going, well, we've actually got this idea for a new product, or actually, could we work with some of your youth communities? Or, you know, in a really simple sense, do you have young people who are interested in working for us because we've got employment opportunities? And I'm literally going to say, go speak to this person, and I'm going to speak to, you know, this 14-year-old today about this opportunity. So if you're someone listening to this who is wanting to bring young people into your workspace from diverse backgrounds, and I don't just mean skin color, I mean, you know, different people's backgrounds and abilities, working with us and our futures arm could really benefit that. And then again, you might be someone who's really interested in sort of the skills side of things. We can do that. And again, the live side of what we do, you know, I know we're not mentioning names, but you know, that's what we're doing with a few commercial organizations. We're building these projects and programs. It's just, we're a charity doing it. And it's just, you know, if you didn't, it doesn't say League Leaders Charity in the logo, it just says League Leaders. So it's very much people who are sharing what we want to do. So yeah, I'd love to hear from you, and you know, I'd love to hear. Well, yeah, I've been speaking to GPs, to policymakers, to child psychologists, as much as to heads of digital or marketing managers or social impact managers. You know, so if you're somebody who's a GP or knows a GP, get them to get that as well.
To see if got any GP friends listening. Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much, Paul. It's been so fascinating to learn more about this, and I really do. I just applaud you so much on the singularity of your vision and morphing your entire work existence to focus on that. It's fascinating and mind-boggling to me, and I just think it's incredible. And I will make sure that in the show notes here, we include all the ways to get in contact with League Leaders and for the various aspects between, you know, live, futures, etc. So that we're hooking you up with the right person to move those ventures forward. So please do get in contact with him if you feel like any of those points that he raised at the end are a good fit for you. Thank you so much, Paul.
No, thanks so much for having me, Charlotte. I really appreciate your time. So thank you.
Just before we wrap up, I want to touch on a crucial opportunity for your agency's growth. As a creative agency, your primary focus should be on delivering exceptional work, not getting bogged down in sales and marketing. And that's where Lead Flow Sprint comes in. It's an 8-week program designed to streamline your lead generation process, bringing in a steady flow of potential clients to you. No more struggling with the ups and downs of trying to gain the attention of new business. Our program includes hands-on support, including direct input on your copywriting, ensuring a bespoke approach to your lead generation needs. No more feeling stuck in the feast or famine cycle. Our real-time support, including direct feedback on tasks like copywriting, helps you to bid farewell to inconsistent leads and embrace a lead generation system that's tailored to your unique needs. Visit caffeine.club/LFS. That's KAFFEN.CLUB/L for Lima, F for Foxtrot, S for Sierra.